from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So amazingly, it looks like Ricky Pearsall surviving the bullet shot to the chest will somehow be back and up and playing in 4 weeks, they think.
Yeah, well, that's good news.
Unbelievable. I mean, how lucky do you have to be shot in the chest and it misses all your vital organs? All you have is vital organs in your chest.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
I mean, they're all good and jammed up in there, right?
Yeah, so exactly. That's usually the... The target for someone who's trying to take you out would be center mass there in that area, other than the usual headshot there. So,
and it is the number one story by hits, clicks, and likes in the nation. 49ers first round pick, draft pick Ricky Pearsall, shot during a robbery attempt in the post-American blue territory of San Francisco, which is no longer culturally or legally recognizable as America, but it's still geographically on the map. So, you know, technicalities.
And of course, Chicago had a worse weekend where they had 4 killed on a Chicago Transit Authority train.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of shooting there. Yeah. And again, X breaking the story, because that's where we go to find out what's going on in Democrat controlled America, because you're not allowed to know in other places, that apparently Trende Aragua is using the blueprint in these blue cities. It's not just Aurora where they're taking over these apartment complexes. It's Chicago too. So Chicago gangs over the weekend were issuing warnings to Trende Aragua to clear out those apartments because that's their territory. They say they're going to kill him. So just very interesting to find out. I wonder how many other American cities Trende Aragua is doing this in, just going in and taking these apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, over the weekend...
You sure that's not our imagination now, like the mayor of Aurora, Colorado said now, right, Tara?
Yeah, just one delusional council member, no big deal. Meanwhile, people are going and interviewing the police, and they're like, oh no, it's much worse than you're being told.
And watching the video.
Yeah, and watching the video of this. And, you know, look, even the landlord gave an interview to the New York Post and said, I can't go on my own property. It needs to be liberated. You know, I mean, I guess it's technically Venezuelan territory now, right? I guess. I mean, that's how they see it. So, and then all of this on top of the cover of the New York Post today, 3 of 4 arrests now in downtown Manhattan for crimes. They're gangs. And I mean, this is going to become a problem because, look, it's simultaneously Trende Aragua, their national leaders gave them the nod to begin killing American law enforcement officers the way that they do in Venezuela. And that's been simultaneous to them beginning to take property in blue territories. Now, they don't dare do that here, you understand?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, try it. Try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our sheriff would love to get in on that action.
It wouldn't just be the sheriffs either.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I think that...
There'd be some property owners to be ready to defend their property.
Yeah, exactly. And... look, and when you know as a property owner that, you know, you have the right to defend your property and that it's very much celebrated in our culture, our American culture that's still left in these red areas, then you have a lot more leeway. But, you know, you're in Aurora, you're the apartment complex owner. You don't know who the prosecutor in the Democrat-controlled justice system is going to side with. Is it going to be the gangsters or is it going to be you? I mean, you... Castle Doctrine, I just wouldn't count on it, you know?
Just fixing to say, thank goodness for the Castle Doctrine in this state, yeah.
By the way, I need to crowdsource this. People want to know, and I don't know the answer to this, if Ricky Pearsall got his Rolex back during the robbery attempt in San Francisco. I don't know. Did he win ultimately? I mean, he did take the bullet to the chest and survive that.
Yeah.
his poor mother. She's the one who had to put out the statement, you know, yeah, it missed all the vital organs. It did, you know, just Kleenex it out the back or whatever. But apparently Pearsall got a hold of the gun at one point during the scuffle and shot the robber. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, I hope he'll be okay criminally. I mean, because you don't shoot a valuable future Democrat voter like that. I mean,
yeah, really?
Not in San Francisco. Now, you do it here if he's robbing you all day long.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll probably get a letter of commendation from the sheriff or the police chief, right? Yeah. Thanks for taking one more out so we don't have to.
Exactly.
But this is San Fran. I mean, it could go very differently for you there. So if you fight back.
Becoming a victim, you're taking your life into your own hands if you'd avenge yourself.
No, you really are, though. In these areas, you don't know what they're going to do, especially if you shot the guy back. Mm-hmm. You're just supposed to hand him the Rolodex.
Right.
I mean, sorry, the Rolex.
Yeah.
Not the Rolodex.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, texture rates. Tara, hashtag just walk it off. You got to see this video.
Gosh.
Producer Tim looked it up. Yeah. Oh my gosh. He gets shot in the chest. And it's probably the shock too. He walks himself to the ambulance after getting shot.
Well.
Love it.
Yeah, that's what that training will do for you.
But look, that's the standard Trump has set now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get shot, you just shake it off, you get up. Doesn't matter if you're still in the line of fire. You may or you may not be. You don't know because Trump didn't. You didn't know how many shooters there were. You just, you know, get up, shake it off, just, you know, wipe the blood away, put your fist in the air, hopefully still wearing your Rolex, and, you know, make for the motorcade. So that's, I mean, this is the standard we have now in America. So,
just amazing.
Just amazing. But I, like I said, I just died laughing all the way through this article because all of these professional sports figures now who've had to live in California while playing for their teams and survive the atmosphere there that Democrats have created are now all piling on. Like former Major League Baseball star Mark Mulder, who just ripped the city of San Francisco. Just saying this is, you know, this is ridiculous. He played 9 years in the majors between Oakland Athletics and St. Louis Cardinals. So he knows a blue area, you know. He says, what an absolute hellhole of a city. The mentally ill libs will still tell you how beautiful it is while they get mugged and step in, starts with S and ends in T.
Right.
And of course, he's not alone. Charles Barkley has blasted the city during the NBA All-Star game. You know, again, same thing. And former San Francisco Giants star Buster Posey also suggested that crime and drugs were such a turnoff to impending free agents. It, you know, at this point could begin to affect the teams.
I would say the stock for those who manufacture armored vehicles is probably going up in San Francisco.
You know, maybe you should make that part of the deal with the NFL. Yeah. You know, if you go there, they have to provide you with an armored vehicle and an armed driver.
Yeah.
So, but good for Pearsall for, you know, putting a bullet into the perp. Yeah. A struggle between Mr. Pearsall and the suspect ensued, and gunfire from the suspect's gun struck both Mr. Pearsall and the subject. So they got the gun. They got the subject. Now we just have to wait for them to release him. Lee, what do you think?
That's probably what's going to go on.
Well, totally will.
He was injured, so he's a victim, too.
He's a victim, too. Absolutely. But no, in all seriousness, this is striking a chord because it is for the second day, the number one story in the nation. And we can see that on Topic Pulse, my new toy that I love, that I'm so glad the management has gotten me. So you can see that's the number one and it's striking a chord because this is ridiculous. We the peons expect this kind of thing to happen to us in blue areas. But when you're just like, you know, when you're a first round draft pick NFL and you're just walking around. And you can't do that anymore in blue areas without getting shot.
Well, like I said, that signing bonus probably ought to go toward a bulletproof vehicle. So,
or a really good health plan. I mean, you know, or both.
Health plan ain't going to do you any good if you've got a perp that's got a better aim than the last one.
That's true. Well, anyway, the part I shouldn't laugh, but I just have this sense of irony. The team, you know, they drafted him and they had high hopes, but then he developed a shoulder injury, split shoulder. And they'd really worked on it and worked on him and, you know, physical therapy, thought they were going to get him up and running for the season. And then on top of that, Lee, he gets shot.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. Mayor London Breed, by the way, wants you to know this is an extremely rare thing.
Yeah, right.
Texter on the text line said, yeah, it's extremely rare because he was in the NFL. So far, they haven't been shot. But everybody else nods like every day. Rolex. Oh, my gosh. And finally, Texter writes about the battle for Chicago. They should make a movie about this. It could be Tren de Aragua versus the Crips and the Bloods, I guess. The Crips and the Bloods, Texter writes, have a 50-year home field tactical advantage. Well, again, we're pulling for them. I was wondering, Lee, this morning where I could get myself some Crips, like some Blood merchandise, so I can pull for them in the war with Tren de Aragua.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get myself some fan merchandise. Like, do they have a jersey or something? So I'm pulling for the home team.
Just be careful where you wear that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I will.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need Kamala Harris, the president of joy, to lead us.
To lead us, yes, the serfs. Her Highness, like many royals before her who were elected with really, well, no votes and selected with, well, no votes. That's what makes them royalty. Don't bother with such things as justifying themselves to the peons. The serfs. Their job is to make the money and forward it to the crown. And Her Highness will, you know, deign to respond to them or speak to them when Her Highness feels like it. And Her Highness is now using very clever ways to avoid actually interacting with other human beings who clearly are beneath her, like the media that continues to stump for her. I don't know why. This one made the UK Daily Mail. It was a top 10 trender in the world, which means what? Inside of all of the world's capitals, including our enemies, they're getting a look at this woman, and Hamas is like, hi, Toms, let's kill some more hostages. She can't even handle a friendly reporter's question. We can do whatever we want. We can. And folks who saw her get off that plane at Joint Base Andrews, well, this is her new thing. Hold it. She's got those, you know, earphones in, those phone earphones in. And she gets off the plane. She's walking, holding her phone, right? Well, you know, those earphones, I mean, they've got the microphone right there. You don't have to hold the phone to your ear. So she's walking along. She's got the earphones in for the phone. And as soon as she's getting off one plane, she's getting out of the car. And then she turns and she walks up on to the other plane. And as soon as the reporter yells the question, she puts the phone to her ear and starts talking, apparently forgetting she's already got the headphones in. In other words, it's a dodge. Oh, look at me now. I'm so busy talking to busy, important, busy people. Important people who are busy. More important than you, reporter. And so, yeah, I'm not taking questions from you, reporter, about anything because I am Queen Kamala. Here's how this went. Yeah, so she's holding the phone. And you can't hear it very well. Yeah, reporter yells. I'm sorry, does it translate as well on radio? Reporter yells the question. As soon as she yells the question, she puts the phone up to her ear that she's already got the earbuds in. So not going to take questions from the peons. That is for Dana Bash. By the way, CNN, 40 minutes of interview. They gave us 18. Heavily, heavily edited. So much so that the majority of the interview never made it into the interview. By the way, I was talking to my program director, and something happened that we've never seen before. CNN sent out a statement to us, and I assume everybody else in the country, media outlets. And I mean, if you're pushing this far down to this local level, wow. CNN saying we could not run the interview in its entirety, nor could we put it on our social media. We could only use a max of 3 minutes at a time. So what is this? This is CNN trying to, working with the Kamala Harris campaign to tamp down actual journalism. Well, I wouldn't call it actual journalism, an approximation of journalism, and hide that interview. That's what that is. Hide the interview because they knew it was a disaster. So they're telling us, well, you can only put small chunks up. Why? To make it really hard to find the whole thing if anybody wanted to listen to it. Meanwhile, all kinds of Kamala Harris's debuted over the weekend. I call this 50 Shades of Kamala. For instance, check out Kamala's Black Southern accent. This is what the people, by the way, in Georgia get. Keep in mind, this woman was raised in Canada, okay? This is Black Southern Kamala. All these are from this weekend. That's what's so remarkable. And by the way, so remarkable, this was a headline story this morning in the UK Daily Mail as they make fun of her for this. She looks like a fool in the international media.
Let's just get through the next 64 days. How about
that? Right. So that's Georgia Black Southern Kamala. Now, in Detroit, you get Detroit Kamala.
You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time.
Now, listen to white Kamala in Pittsburgh say the same thing.
Thank unions for sick leave. Thank unions for paid family leave. Thank unions for your vacation time.
And of course, I've played this before. If you want base level Kamala, that'd be when she's talking. Well, this was her first stop on her campaign. She stopped by the RuPaul Drag Race show. A drag queen show. And most of the drag queens are white. So you get the normal voice, Kamala.
We are all in this together. And your vote is your power. Yeah, okay, so please make sure your voice.
So the UK Daily Mail mocking her. It was a top 10 in the world article. So I just want to, like, you know, if she has to deal with Chairman Xi or Vladimir Putin or something, In a real crisis, what's she just going to put the phone to her earphone, to her earbud, and think that what they'll go away like the American media? Like she'll just be like, I don't know. The world is laughing at this woman, laughing. And so, by the way, is Hamas. They are clearly not impressed, not at all. So unimpressed. Folks, think about this for a minute. You murder an American citizen in, you know, that you have kidnapped on October 7th, right? But not just any American citizen. The son of the parents who just spoke, not at the RNC convention, but the DNC convention. You take a look at that on TV and go, you know what? That's the hostage I'm shooting in the back of the head. The one whose parents were at the DNC convention. You think Hamas is trying to send a message to the Democrats? I do. I'll tell you what it is next. Good morning. Okay, Kamala Harris outraged over the weekend, cannot believe that Donald Trump would go lay a wreath on the graves of the 13 killed at Abbeygate, who she'd been studiously ignoring for years, their phone calls, their emails. Absolute outrage. I'm going to give you the punchline on this in a minute. Now, this was a huge story in the mainstream media last week. It stayed in the top 10 for a total of 3 days, 2 days solid, and then 1 day on its own. So this is a huge deal. Here's Tom Cotton on NBC. After Kamala Harris took Trump and the Goldstar families to task for Trump daring to show up. By the way, he was only able to film because they requested permission to film. Now, let me tell you what's going on here, okay? Let me give you the background on this. Trump goes to to Arlington to honor the dead, the 13 dead. The families have been trying to get an answer for 3 years. Because remember the story, the sniper spotted the suicide bomber in Afghanistan outside of Abigail. Spotted him training with his handler for 3 days. They knew the car, they knew the license plate, they knew who the bomber was, and they knew who the handler was in terms of, you know, IDing them, being able to visually ID them. They asked for permission to kill him starting early, days before. He shows up again and again, permission denied. Finally shows up with the suicide vest on, ready to go, ready for party time. The sniper begs for permission to kill. It is denied a final time. And 13 die. You will hear the parents in this montage describe it as murder because it was. It was murder not just by the suicide bomber, but honestly, by the Pentagon under Joe Biden. There was a reason why no one was to trifle with the Taliban, including just let them blow up. Just let them let the suicide bomber through and do what he wants. We don't trifle with the Taliban. We don't want this to slow down our withdrawal. And what they want is answers. This is what these families want. This is why they've called. This is why they've emailed. So bad that members of Congress have gotten involved, demanding that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden over the last couple of years respond to their emails and calls. Why are our children dead? Why was this sniper who testified before Congress not allowed to shoot? Their deaths were senseless. Tragic. And they haven't gotten so much as a return email or phone call, including from the military top brass. It's just, here's your kids' bodies. Good luck. Now, with that outrageous background, the media has been pummeling these Gold Star families and Trump for a week now. How dare you embarrass Her Highness by inviting Trump out to Section 60 of Arlington to lay wreaths on their graves? How dare you? Why? Because when your child dies like this, you want to feel like it was for something. And if it wasn't for anything, then you want to feel like someone cares about their sacrifice in the way you imagine your sacrifice will be cared about when you join the military. Trump gave them that. They have a deep psychological need for that. I get it as a parent. I know you do too. The media is outraged that Trump took them up on their invitation and showed up. That he cannot believe, because it embarrasses Her Highness and Joe Biden. Okay. So with all of that background, Kamala Harris goes after the Gold Star. I don't know why she did this. She's getting terrible advice. Goes after the Gold Star families. Says that Trump disrespected all the dead in Arlington by daring to show up with them and film and then release the footage. Okay, so here's the Gold Star families calling Kamala out. Now that you understand what they mean when they're saying, like, you didn't return our calls, you didn't return our emails, wanting to know why our children are dead, tell us why the sniper wasn't allowed to save them.
My daughter-in-law, Sergeant Nicole Leanne G., was killed in the Afghanistan exit at Abbey Gate. Our kids were murdered because of your administration.
You were not at Dover for the dignified transfer. And no time have you reached out to me to offer your condolences, to offer thank you for Kareem's sacrifice and service.
You have 13 families who have been waiting over 3 years to so much as get a phone call, to so much as hear our kids' names said aloud.
You failed for 3 years and 8 months to acknowledge our kids.
Where were you and Joe Biden on August 26, 2024? Nowhere near Arlington Cemetery. You couldn't be bothered to be with us or even say our kids' names, just as you have done for the last 3 years.
Vice President Harris, I ask you, why won't you return a call and explain to us how you call my daughter-in-law's death a success? President Trump has called. President Trump shows up. President Trump takes the time to hear our loved one's stories.
We invited him to be there.
These are the only memories we get to make with our son, and it is you who is playing politics and trying to detract from our memories made that day.
President Trump has been there for us.
He's been a rock for us. He showed compassion for us, and he showed he truly cares for the families that truly do know what the ultimate sacrifice really is.
Yeah, so this has embarrassed Her Highness, and the New York Times has been all over this and just trashing the Gold Star families, trashing Trump. Tom Cotton took them all on NBC. Take a listen. This is Senator Tom Cotton.
Bottom line, though, I guess, Senator, is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at military grave sites?
I didn't take campaign photos there. These families, Gold Star families, whose children died because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's incompetence, invited him to the cemetery, and they asked him to take those photos because, as they told me yesterday, when I spoke to Kelly Barnett and Darren Hoover, the parents of Taylor Hoover, they don't get to go to the beach on Labor Day. They don't get to have barbecues. This is their one chance to have a memory of their children, to commemorate their service and to honor their sacrifice. They wanted President Trump there. They wanted to take those photos. You know who the families also invited? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Where were they? Joe Biden was sitting at a beach. Kamala Harris was sitting at her mansion in Washington, D.C. She was 4 miles away, 10 minutes. She could have gone to the cemetery and honored the sacrifice of those young men and women. But she hasn't. She never has spoken to them or taken a meeting with them.
Well, meet with them during the dignified transfer. Were with them at the dignified transfer.
Her and Joe Biden's incompetence, that those 13 Americans were killed in Afghanistan.
Okay, and NBC News later had to issue a correction. They were not there during the Joe was, but Kamala did not show up to the dignified transfer either at Dover. Unbelievable. Now you want the punchline? Here's the punchline. Listen to what NBC News says.
Bottom line, though, I guess, Senator, is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at military grave sites?
I didn't take campaign photos there. These families.
Is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at Arlington? I don't know. Someone should ask Biden. He filmed a commercial there to fundraise for his campaign. He ran it in 2020. And just like Trump, the big criticism of Trump as well, there was some graves in the background. Some of the names showed. Did they show in the Biden fundraising campaign commercial? Yes, they did. In fact, Joe Biden is standing in the same section, section 60, in front of the grave, just like Trump. Except there were no families that had invited Joe. He just went there to make a campaign commercial. Did Kamala say anything? She was running against him at the time. No. Did the mainstream media give a rip? No, they still don't. So if they're going to condemn Trump for this, they should condemn Biden too. But you'll notice they're not. Folks, for Hamas to execute the son of two parents who just testified, just gave a speech, I shouldn't say testified, but who just gave a speech at the DNC, of all the hostages, that's the one you kill? You think that wasn't them sending a message? You bet it was. You bet it was. They went, because these parents did not speak at the RNC. They spoke at the DNC. And Hamas is like, okay, that one? Yeah, we'll get him. Why do this? The billionaire Bill Ackman, who's a liberal Jewish Democrat and has since recently rebelled against Democrats over their anti-Semitism, writes this on Twitter, and he nails it. Consider that Hamas chose to execute an American hostage with a bullet to the back of his head during the last 2 or 3 days, whose parents just spoke at the DNC less than 2 weeks ago. While hostage negotiations were underway, and by the way, while both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were telling us they were close to a peace deal. Guess not. What fools. Consider, Bill Ackman writes, that the U.S. strategy over the last 330 days has been to pressure Israel to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza, including through the withholding of weapons from Israel. And again, those are weapons Israel ordered from us and paid for. Consider what pressure. Good morning. Okay, Kamala Harris, outraged over the weekend, cannot believe that Donald Trump would go lay a wreath on the graves of the 13 killed at Abbeygate, who she'd been studiously ignoring for years, their phone calls, their emails, absolute outrage. I'm going to give you the punchline on this in a minute. Now, this was a huge story in the mainstream media last week. It stayed in the top 10 for a total of 3 days, 2 days solid, and then 1 day on its own. So this is a huge deal. Here's Tom Cotton on NBC. After Kamala Harris took Trump and the Goldstar families to task for Trump daring to show up. By the way, he was only able to film because they requested permission to film. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. Okay, let me give you the background on this. Trump goes to to Arlington to honor the dead, the 13 dead. The families have been trying to get an answer for 3 years. Because remember the story, the sniper spotted the suicide bomber in Afghanistan outside Abigail. Spotted him training with his handler for 3 days. They knew the car, they knew the license plate, they knew who the bomber was, and they knew who the handler was in terms of, you know, IDing them, being able to visually ID them. They asked for permission to kill him starting early, days before. He shows up again and again, permission denied. Finally shows up with the suicide vest on, ready for party time. The sniper begs for permission to kill. It is denied a final time. And 13 die. You will hear the parents in this montage describe it as murder because it was. It was murder not just by the suicide bomber, but honestly, by the Pentagon under Joe Biden. There was a reason why no one was to trifle with the Taliban, including just let them blow up. Just let them let the suicide bomber through and do what he wants. We don't trifle with the Taliban. We don't want this to slow down our withdrawal. And what they want is answers. This is what these families want. That's why they've called. That's why they've emailed. So bad that members of Congress have gotten involved, demanding that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden over the last couple of years respond to their emails and calls. Why are our children dead? Why was this sniper who testified before Congress not allowed to shoot? Their deaths were senseless, tragic, and they haven't gotten so much as a return email or phone call, including from the military top brass. It's just, here's your kids' bodies. Good luck. Now, with that outrageous background, the media has been pummeling these Gold Star families and Trump for a week now. How dare you embarrass Her Highness by inviting Trump out to Section 60 of Arlington to lay wreaths on their graves? How dare you? Why? Because when your child dies like this, you want to feel like it was for something. And if it wasn't for anything, then you want to feel like someone cares about their sacrifice in the way you imagine your sacrifice will be cared about when you join the military. Trump gave them that. They have a deep psychological need for that. I get it as a parent. I know you do too. The media is outraged that Trump took them up on their invitation and showed up. That he cannot believe, because it embarrasses Her Highness and Joe Biden. Okay. So with all of that background, Kamala Harris goes after the Gold Star. I don't know why she did this. She's getting terrible advice. Goes after the Gold Star families. Says that Trump disrespected all the dead in Arlington by daring to show up with them and film and then release the footage. Okay, so here's the Gold Star families calling Kamala out. Now that you understand what they mean when they're saying, like, you didn't return our calls, you didn't return our emails, wanting to know why our children are dead. Tell us why the sniper wasn't allowed to save them.
My daughter-in-law, Sergeant Nicole Leanne G, was killed in the Afghanistan exit at Abbey Gate. Our kids were murdered because of your administration.
You were not at Dover for the dignified transfer. And no time have you reached out to me to offer your condolences, to offer thank you for Kareem's sacrifice and service.
You have 13 families who have been waiting over 3 years to so much as get a phone call, to so much as hear our kids' names said aloud.
You failed for 3 years and 8 months to acknowledge our kids.
Where were you and Joe Biden on August 26, 2024? Nowhere near Arlington Cemetery. You couldn't be bothered to be with us or even say our kids' names, just as you have done for the last 3 years.
Vice President Harris, I ask you, why won't you return a call and explain to us how you call my daughter-in-law's death a success? President Trump has called. President Trump shows up. President Trump takes the time to hear our loved ones' stories.
We invited him to be there.
These are the only memories we get to make with our son, and it is you who is playing politics and trying to detract from our memories made that day.
President Trump has been there for us. He's been a rock for us. He showed compassion for us, and he showed he truly cares for the families that truly do know what the ultimate sacrifice really is.
Yeah, so this has embarrassed Her Highness, and the New York Times has been all over this and just trashing the Gold Star families, trashing Trump. Tom Cotton took them all on NBC. Take a listen. This is Senator Tom Cotton.
Bottom line, though, I guess, Senator, is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at military grave sites?
I didn't take campaign photos there. These families, Gold Star families, whose children died because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's incompetence, invited him to the cemetery. And they asked him to take those photos because, as they told me yesterday, when I spoke to Kelly Barnett and Darren Hoover, the parents of Taylor Hoover, they don't get to go to the beach on Labor Day. They don't get to have barbecues. This is their one chance to have a memory of their children, to commemorate their service and honor their sacrifice. They wanted President Trump there. They wanted to take those photos. You know who the families also invited? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Where were they? Joe Biden was sitting at a beach. Kamala Harris was sitting at her mansion in Washington, D.C. She was 4 miles away, 10 minutes. She could have gone to the cemetery and honored the sacrifice of those young men and women. But she hasn't. She never has spoken to them or taken a meeting with them.
Well, meet with them during the dignified transfer. Were with them at the dignified transfer.
Her and Joe Biden's incompetence, that those 13 Americans were killed in Afghanistan.
Okay, and NBC News later had to issue a correction. They were not there during the, Joe was, but Kamala did not show up to the dignified transfer either at Dover. Unbelievable. Now you want the punchline? Here's the punchline. Listen to what NBC News says.
Bottom line, though, I guess, Senator, is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at military grave sites?
I didn't take campaign photos there. These families.
Is it ever appropriate to make campaign content at Arlington? I don't know. Someone should ask Biden. He filmed a commercial there to fundraise for his campaign. He ran it in 2020. And just like Trump, the big criticism of Trump as well, there was some graves in the background. Some of the names showed. Did they show in the Biden fundraising campaign commercial? Yes, they did. In fact, Joe Biden is standing in the same section, section 60, in front of the grave, just like Trump. Except there were no families that had invited Joe. He just went there to make a campaign commercial. Did Kamala say anything? She was running against him at the time. No. Did the mainstream media give a rip? No, they still don't. So if they're going to condemn Trump for this, they should condemn Biden too. But you'll notice they're not. Folks, for Hamas to execute the son of two parents who just testified, just gave a speech, I shouldn't say testified, but who just gave a speech at the DNC, of all the hostages, that's the one you kill? You think that wasn't them sending a message? You bet it was. You bet it was. They went, because this is, these parents did not speak at the RNC. They spoke at the DNC. And Hamas is like, okay, that one? Yeah, we'll get him. Why do this? The billionaire Bill Ackman, who's a liberal Jewish Democrat and has since recently rebelled against Democrats over their anti-Semitism, writes this on Twitter, and he nails it. Consider that Hamas chose to execute an American hostage with a bullet to the back of his head during the last two or three days, whose parents just spoke at the DNC less than 2 weeks ago. While hostage negotiations were underway, and by the way, while both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were telling us they were close to a peace deal. Guess not. What fools. Consider, Bill Ackman writes, that the U.S. strategy over the last 330 days has been to pressure Israel to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza, including through the withholding of weapons from Israel. And again, those are weapons Israel ordered from us and paid for. Consider what pressure, if any, the U.S. has brought to bear on Hamas. That would be none. And our friends in the region who harbor Hamas's leadership. Again, that would be none. Why, Ackman writes, why has our leadership adopted this failed strategy? And I would add, why does Hamas believe it can execute the son of two parents who just appeared at the DNC and suffer no repercussions? I'll tell you why. Ackman nails it. He says the reason for this is because Kamala Harris's campaign advisors, along with their advisors in the Democrat National Committee, so that's the head of the Democrat Party. Kamala Harris's advisors, along with her advisors in the DNC, believe they will lose important votes in certain key swing states and from Hamas supporters, including on campuses, if they do anything tough on Hamas. And Hamas has made the calculation they can kill, including American citizens, and get away with it as long as they do it before the election. And they're not wrong. This is Ackman saying this. They know if they go tough on Hamas, they will lose votes. And so Hamas said, okay, that guy, the one whose parents were just at the DNC, we're going to teach Democrats a lesson. We'll kill him. And they know they can get away with it. That's what's so nuts. And they are. They did. What did Joe Biden do? Condemn Hamas? No. Netanyahu, which is exactly what Hamas wanted.
Mr. President, if you think it's time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to do more on this issue, do you think he's doing enough?
No.
No, he should do more. Joe had been on vacation for 18 days, during which time his administration claimed they were close to a peace deal. What about Tim Walz? Oh, Hamas loved this. Everybody watch this on X, including Hamas. Tim Walz, her vice president, is at the Minnesota State Fair. He's walking forward in the shot. He encounters unexpectedly a reporter who says, hey, what about those dead hostages, including the American? He abruptly turns on his heel, gives the reporter his back, and walks away. Hamas is sitting in their evil little den, laughing their rear ends off.
What's your reaction to the six hostages being found dead in Gaza?
Right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, he says, and walks off. Yeah, don't care about them. Nope. Need the Hamas vote in Michigan. Sorry, I gotta go. Yeah, dead. Too bad. We're on our way. Let me get in the car. Meanwhile, senior administration official says in the Washington Post, Hamas's decision to execute the hostages with negotiations underway calls into question Hamas's seriousness in the talks. You think? Do you think? Oh my gosh, I cannot wait till Trump is back in office. Folks, for Hamas to execute the son of two parents who just testified, just gave a speech, I shouldn't say testified, but who just gave a speech at the DNC, of all the hostages, that's the one you kill? You think that wasn't them sending a message? You bet it was. You bet it was. They went, because these parents did not speak at the RNC. They spoke at the DNC. And Hamas is like, okay, that one? Yeah, we'll get him. Why do this? The billionaire Bill Ackman, who's a liberal Jewish Democrat and has since recently rebelled against Democrats over their anti-Semitism, writes this on Twitter, and he nails it. Consider that Hamas chose to execute an American hostage with a bullet to the back of his head during the last 2 or 3 days, whose parents just spoke at the DNC less than 2 weeks ago. While hostage negotiations were underway, and by the way, while both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were telling us they were close to a peace deal. Guess not. What fools. Consider, Bill Ackman writes, that the U.S. strategy over the last 330 days has been to pressure Israel to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza, including through the withholding of weapons from Israel. And again, those are weapons Israel ordered from us and paid for. Consider what pressure, if any, the U.S. has brought to bear on Hamas. That would be none. And our friends in the region who harbor Hamas's leadership. Again, that would be none. Why, Ackman writes, why has our leadership adopted this failed strategy? And I would add, why does Hamas believe it can execute the son of two parents who just appeared at the DNC and suffer no repercussions? I'll tell you why. Ackman nails it. He says the reason for this is because Kamala Harris's campaign advisors, along with their advisors in the Democrat National Committee, so that's the head of the Democrat Party. Kamala Harris's advisors, along with Her advisors in the DNC believe they will lose important votes in certain key swing states and from Hamas supporters, including on campuses, if they do anything tough on Hamas. And Hamas has made the calculation they can kill, including American citizens, and get away with it, as long as they do it before the election. And they're not wrong. This is Ackman saying this. They know if they go tough on Hamas, they will lose votes. And so Hamas said, okay, that guy, the one whose parents were just at the DNC, we're going to teach Democrats a lesson. We'll kill him. And they know they can get away with it. That's what's so nuts. And they are. They did. What did Joe Biden do? Condemn Hamas? No. Netanyahu, which is exactly what Hamas wanted.
Mr. President, if you think it's time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to do more on this issue, do you think he's doing enough?
No.
No, he should do more. Joe had been on vacation for 18 days, during which time his administration claimed they were close to a peace deal. What about Tim Walz? Oh, Hamas loved this. Everybody watch this on X, including Hamas. Tim Walz, her vice president, is at the Minnesota State Fair. He's walking forward in the shot. He encounters unexpectedly a reporter who says, hey, what about those dead hostages, including the American? He abruptly turns on his heel, gives the reporter his back, and walks away. Hamas is sitting in their evil little den, laughing their rear ends off.
What's your reaction to the 6 hostages being found dead in Gaza?
Right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, he says, and walks off. Yeah, don't care about them. Nope. Need the Hamas vote in Michigan. Sorry, I gotta go. Yeah, dead. Too bad. We're on our way. Let me get in the car. Meanwhile, senior administration official says in the Washington Post, Hamas's decision to execute the hostages with negotiations underway calls into question Hamas's seriousness in the talks. You think? Do you think? Oh my gosh, I cannot wait till Trump is back in office.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.